I'm Wally Dama, class of 1951.
Current residence?
And we live in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay, Wally, first question. Why did you come to Grinnell College, and what is your first memory of the campus?
Well, my first memory of the campus is when I came in my senior year in high school to take the SAT test. And that's when I first saw the place. And then why I came to Grinnell was actually my brother, who was a veteran, had enrolled here the year before that. And so I was somewhat familiar with the campus, but basically it was sort of the only college that I really looked at, and because I was successful with my admissions application, and I only filled out one, I came to Grinnell.
Perfect.
So that's the first memory of the campus, that in terms of my first memory of the campus when I came here as a freshman was moving into Dibble, and that's not very different from anybody else as far as the first memory.
Okay. Was there a professor, student, or staff member who had a particularly strong influence on your life?
Well, I ended up majoring in psychology, and George Lovell was an influence. Another man in the psych department by the name of Max Thompson probably had more influence. I took all kinds of, I took every course that Max offered, which is only three, I think, at that particular point. But interestingly enough, I would say a person that I remember strongly, I didn't ever take a course from, and that was Grant Gale. And Grant was a physics professor, and I stayed away from physics as long as I could. In fact, I never did take. But because of being on a number of student government committees and a variety of committees, and he was the professor that was on those committees, I got to know him. And by the time I was a senior, even though I had never had a class with him, he and I were good friends. And so, in a sense, he had an influence on me. And I think that's one of the real unique things about Grinnell, or any small or large school, really, for that matter, where you don't know just the professors you have in class, but you know the professors that are making up the rest of the staff. And that's quite important, I think.
So you mentioned student government. Were you on the student government?
Well, yes, in a way. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure just what the situation is now. But they had quite a hierarchy for the social activities on campus. They had a social coordinator, and we were responsible, the committee, for making sure there was basically social activities every weekend. And do you have something similar to that now?
Not so much, but we do have like a student activity coordinator.
Yeah, well, activity coordinator. Right. And so I started helping out with social kinds of things. By the time I was a senior, I was what they call the social coordinator.
Okay. And for your dorm, right?
Pardon me?
Was it for your particular dorm that you were
No, that's for the campus.
Oh, the whole campus.
It's the whole
okay.
campus. It's
wow.
the whole campus.
Okay.
And we had several different committees that did different things. One was a film committee to make sure there was films every Friday night in the ARH auditorium, which doesn't exist anymore. And then there would be socials done by the various halls over the course of the semester.
Right.
And then booking the bands in those days, the spring prom. I booked Count Basie one spring, and then Woody Herman came to town one cold winter evening, which is sort of an interesting story on that. Woody Herman was big in 1951.
Okay.
And played a date over at Iowa State and was headed over to University of Iowa for another date, and had an open date during the week that they wanted to fill. And since Grinnell was on the way between Iowa State and Iowa, they said, how about coming and doing a concert?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounded great to me, and particularly since they were going to do it for only $600, and because they wanted to fill the date. So at that time, the Dean of Women, which no longer exists, of course, was the one that really said them social activities, because you control the whole campus by controlling the women, you know. And she said, well, yeah, we can do that. And women's hours were 10:15, and said, we're going to have the concert's got to be over by 10 o'clock. Well, this was in January or February. Anyway, it snowed that day, and they were coming from Ames, and they didn't start in time. And so I kept getting these calls saying, we're coming, but we're not going to be able to make the 7 o'clock date, so we won't be done by a two-hour concert by 9:30. And so, make a long story short, they arrived, I suppose, 8:30 or 9 o'clock, and set up, and we're going to do the full 2.5-hour concert. And, of course, women's hours were 10:15, so I got together with the dean of women and said, okay, what can we do about this? She said, we'll extend women's hours till a half hour after the concert's over. And, oh, that was great, you know, they're going to work out. So everybody is over in Darby Gym, have a great concert, except I noticed about two-thirds through the concert, a number of couples started leaving early. I don't know just why they were leaving early, but they had some extra time to enjoy each other's company. And anyway, it was a great concert. Thought a lot of people who didn't even finish out the concert thought it was a great concert.
Awesome.
Okay. So,
well, I'm sorry, what was the artist's name again? Herman?
Woody Herman.
Okay.
Yeah. Woodrow Wilson Herman, which is not really right, but people think of that. Woody Herman.
Okay. What are your best memories of your time at Grinnell College?
Well, the interaction with the student that I lived with. I lived in Coles, and I would have to say that I made good friends in the residence halls, and I think that's probably still true today. That's really where all my buddies that, you know, I'm back here for my 60th reunion, but the ones I'm seeing, well, frankly, the ones I'm seeing are ones that were involved in student government, you know. And I don't know what it's like now, but the head of the women's program, government, and the men's student government, and the I don't know if they have a student council president or not. Those people I ran around with, and those are the ones I'm seeing now 60 years later. And interestingly enough, they're the ones that are coming back for the reunion.
Right.
And so they were, and both men and women. I mean, not, that's the men's side.
Okay. What did your dorm room look like in Coles?
Well, in Coles, and I understand Coles has been redone quite
it
a bit. I should get over there and look at it. But pretty Spartan, basically. We didn't do a whole lot of decorating on the men's side. But the thing you have to remember, back in 1951, we were so spoiled that we had maid service. And so maids made the bed every morning, emptied the waste baskets, dusted the floor, you know. And so the room looked pretty good compared to, I've been in some of the students' rooms today, and we won't comment on that. So they're really, the dorm room looked pretty good, but it was not because we kept it up. We had this maid service. My wife went to another school just every time she hears that I had maid service when I'm going to school. She lived a life of luxury. And, so the dorm room was not very unusual.
Okay. What kind of clothes did you wear every day as a Grinnell?
Well, basically, and this is 1951, everybody had corduroy pants,
right,
trousers, and you wore every day, same thing, you know, 5 days, you know, maybe change them once every 5 days or once a week or something like that. And and then just sweaters and sport shirts. But that, what the thing that I remember in this particular era, and then the late 49, 50, something like that, everybody had to have yellow cords. And you think that they have yellow cords, you're out of your mind, you know. But everybody had dirty yellow cords. And and then the other thing that's a little different, we had dinner in Cole's dining room every night, and it was waiter service, and you had to wear a coat and tie to dinner.
Yeah.
So everybody had their dinner coat and their dinner tie, and you wrapped the tie around any shirt you happened to have on, and put on the sport coat. And so you wore the same coat and the same tie every night, all year long. And if you spilled things on it, well, isn't that too bad?
And it wasn't given by the college. It was like your own coat and tie that you
is your own. Yeah. And so guys would find the rattiest old sport coat they could find, and that's a coat. Yep, that's a coat.
So. Okay.
Special occasions. On special occasions, we had formals and things like that. Okay. So a tux was accepted. Guys, almost everybody had a tux.
Okay.
Today, that would be, never mind.
Yeah. What memories or images do you have of the town of Grinnell?
Well, basically, about two. Went into town to get a haircut every 3 or 4 weeks, and so I knew where the barber shop was.
Okay.
And the other one was Cunningham's Drugstore. Which no longer exists, but that was where you went for a wide variety of things, as well as a cup of coffee or ice cream, and then the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that was about the only contact with downtown that I or my classmates had as a student. We just didn't go downtown very much.
Yeah.
The other thing, well, I guess this maybe goes along with number eight. How has Grinnell changed since you were a student? One of the things you could do in that era, you could leave your books, your notebooks, your jacket, or anything under a tree on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be there until you picked it up again. So if you were going downtown, for instance, to get a haircut, I'd just leave my books under a tree, go get a haircut, come back and pick them up. Or if you had a bike, which not very many of us did, but occasionally had a bike, you could leave it anywhere, and it was perfectly safe. And nobody had locks on their doors. I mean, nobody locked the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And you left the door open in the in the dorm. And that's a big change.
Actually, that's it. It's pretty similar to today. Some dorms have, like, open door policy.
Yeah.
Just leave it open. I think the only problem, from what you said, is the bikes. People steal bikes.
Yeah.
Everything else is fine. Like wallets and all.
Yeah. Well, didn't have a padlock for the bicycle.
Yeah.
This, you know, people say, you had a bicycle. On my senior year, I had a bicycle. I didn't have a padlock.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so I like the safety of the community.
I'm sure there are a lot of other changes, but that's what I'm...
Describe something that is no longer available on campus, but that was meaningful to you. Buildings, programs, activities.
I really don't know what's no longer available on campus. I don't think that there's anything that's no longer available, because there's so many more things that are available.
Okay.
You know, there's so many more things. The union is, you know, so different. The bookstore is so different.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more things now. Describe your favorite academic experience or class at Grinnell.
I had a number of classes that I really enjoyed. Those psych courses that I had, which was my major, with Max Thompson and Joe Charlton, who was an economics professor. They were fun classes. Just because the professors were stimulating in their lectures, and so nothing particularly unusual from today. You get stimulating professors today who keep things lively and interesting. I didn't have any, because I was a psych major, we didn't do any unusual experiments like you might do in biology or physics or something. So I suppose this really isn't an academic experience, but in a way it is. Did a lot of studying in the library, the old library. No, the one that's now Carnegie office building, I guess.
Okay.
Now. It's next to the chapel.
Okay.
Harry Nick Chapel. And they had tables and individual tables where you could study up there. And I would pick out a table and put my books on it, and nobody else would use it, over near the side next to the Herrick Chapel, because the students who were music students would be practicing on the organ over there, and you could hear them practicing, and it was just a pleasant situation to be studying and hear. I happen to like music.
Okay.
very much. And so hearing someone practice, even though they might not be very good, just the music thing. So that was, it's an academic experience in the sense that I was studying. And so.
That's wonderful. Oh, did you get to hear the organ when they played on
No,
Friday?
I haven't yet.
I didn't either. Hopefully you get to check that out before you leave.
Yeah.
Describe your favorite... Oh, did I say that? If you knew then what you know now, what would you have done differently during your time at Grinnell College?
I don't think I would have done anything differently. I would say the best experience I had was the opportunity that I had when I talked about the social life, student government in a sense. But because of that, I got to deal with the college administration, from the president to the dean of women to the business manager, maintenance crew, all that kind of thing, as well as the academic experience, which you have to have. But it was that extracurricular activity and the opportunity to deal with, I could go once a week and see the president, mm-hmm. and as a student. Problem solving, you know, if I would, you know, we had some social function and things weren't going, or how did we plan for this? You'd go talk to the head of the maintenance crew because we wanted to decorate some hall some particular way. And so that was as valuable to me, the extracurricular things, as the classroom. Although when I graduated and my major was psychology and I wanted to go into personnel or human resources, they call it today, mm-hmm. and that's what I ended up doing. So it worked both ways. But that extracurricular experience, and I would encourage every student to get as much involved in extracurriculars or, frankly, in a job. I had a job working at the bookstore. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to talk about a favorite place on campus, mm-hmm. I worked there maybe 20 hours a week or something like that. But in that time, the mailboxes were in the bookstore, and I put the mail out every morning, six days a week. We had Saturday classes.
Oh, and
yeah, Saturday classes every day, every
what
week.
What does that mean? No.
Well, we took four courses, but there were always Saturday classes. You know, you'd have a class on Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, or Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so that's what Saturday classes were. But working at the bookstore was an excellent experience, and that's an opportunity not many people have, because most of the jobs are dining service or that kind of thing. So that was an excellent experience. But I really don't know what I would do differently.
So was the bookstore still on this side over here by
the corner? No, the bookstore then was on the underneath the old library. Carnegie, and okay. You had to go downstairs from the front. You know,
okay.
From the...
Yes. Okay. Did you meet your spouse or partner?
No, and okay. I met her after I graduated.
Okay. How would you compare the students of today with your classmates?
Well, I talk about this a little differently because our son graduated from Grinnell in 1992, and and then the other thing is I've been on the staff of the University of Wisconsin at Madison for 50 years.
Okay.
So I know students. And compare the students of today with your classmates. Well, there's two differences, I think. I don't know the student body at Grinnell today except through my son,
right.
Our son. Mm-hmm. And they just seem to do everything more intensely. Mm-hmm. They play harder, they drink harder, they study harder. Mm-hmm. They just do, I think the intensity is more. I'm not sure they have less fun, but it sort of seems to me they're involved, and there's nothing the matter with it at all. But, and I'm talking about Grinnell. Now, you talk about University of Wisconsin-Madison. There's a whole lot of people that say Madison's the biggest party school in the country. Mm-hmm. And it's probably true. But they're there for a different kind of thing. Not to say that they don't party at Grinnell.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem to me that that's the only reason they're here.
Right.
You know, they're working hard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sometimes too hard, probably. But,
so you have one son and...
I had a daughter went to Cornell College, just
okay.
down the road.
Cornell. Cornell.
Yeah.
Two schools always get mixed up.
Yeah, that's easy to do.
Cornell's the one that everybody knows. Cornell's the one that I go to.
No, no, no. Cornell College.
Oh, okay.
Down the road at Mount Vernon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Another small liberal arts
right.
school.
Right.
Yeah. Not Cornell University, no.
Describe students in campus life as you experience.
Well, I've sort of been doing that, I guess, all the way through. And
it
was a very positive experience. I have to say this because I'm back from my 60th reunion, so obviously I've got some love for the school.
Mm-hmm.
And the classmates, that a lot of them we've kept up. The other thing is I've been a class agent for 20 years and I've been a class fund director for 17 years. So for 37 years, although I've been graduated 60 years ago, almost two-thirds of that time I've been a volunteer for the school. I think says something about the positive experience I had at the school.
If you were writing a history of Cornell College, what would you include from your years here?
Pretty much what I talked about. I would say the student body, the friends that I made in the residence halls where I lived, the opportunity I had to be involved, not just in the classroom, but in all the other social, I call it student government. Some people may say, well, it's not student government, they're planning parties, but you were involved with all those kinds of things. Working with the faculty and the staff in so many different ways, so many opportunities. And you have this opportunity at any small liberal arts school. And Grinnell's not unique in that respect because our daughter went to Cornell College and she had a blast. She had the same kind of experience,
yeah.
probably because of their one course at a time. She had a closer relationship with professors than somebody going to any other kind of regular four-year school like Grinnell.
Right.
But the professors you got to know, as I mentioned earlier, whether you had them in class or whether outside of class you got to know them, the student body for the most part. And again, there's a selection process to get into Grinnell, so there's a lot of similarities between the people. You don't have the mix, like you say, at a public university, University of Iowa or Northern Iowa, where you'll get people from all kinds of backgrounds because they're taking in 4,000 or 5,000 in a freshman class rather than, 400, something like that. So there's the... You're getting people that are similar to each other, although there are a lot of differences. But they're compatible differences. You know, I accept you, you accept me. I think you're a drunk, but, you know, that's all right. You know, or I think you're a bookworm and you just spend 24 hours a day in the library or behind the computer or whatever. That's all right,
mm-hmm.
You know. And those are the things I remember putting in history, that'd be my history and looking at it. But my wife, who is a University of Wisconsin graduate, always gets sort of a kick about the loyalty that people have to Grinnell.
Yes.
And what's so great about Grinnell? You know, but I would say I think there's a few people, and I don't know if they'll ever come to for an interview like this, but would say, well, I can tell you this. I'm a class fundraiser for the class of 51, and so twice a year I write a letter to all my classmates. And I do get letters back over the almost 20 years I've been doing this. Once in a while, I get a letter back that I had the lousiest year of my life, my freshman year at Grinnell. I hated it. Mm-hmm. I transferred to the University of Iowa and had a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't really fit Grinnell, the small liberal arts school. But they went to a big school, they got lost in the population and loved it. You know, that's the way they liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And Grinnell's not for everybody.
Yes.
And I think anybody that expects everybody to be a success that comes here, it just ain't going to happen.
No, not at all. It was nice talking to you, Wally. Is there anything else you'd like to share at all?
No, I think I probably rambled on long enough to give you
Thank